Yashaya Veda Nistraigunyo Bhavarjuna Niradvandvo Nitya Sattvastho Diyoga Kshema Atmavam. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna. Be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the Self. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All material activities involve actions and reactions in the three modes of material nature. They are meant for fruitive results which cause bondage in the material world. The Vedas deal mostly with fruitive activities to gradually elevate the general public from the field of sense gratification to a position on the transcendental plane. Arjuna, as a student and friend of Lord Krishna, is advised to raise himself to the transcendental position of Vedanta philosophy, where in the beginning there is Brahma Jigyasa, or questions on the supreme transcendence. All the living entities who are in the material world are struggling very hard for existence. For them, the Lord, after creation of the material world, gave the Vedic wisdom advising how to live and get rid of the material entanglement. When the activities for sense gratification, namely the Karmakanda chapter, are finished, then the chance for spiritual realization is offered in the form of the Upanishads, which are a different part of the Vedas. As the Bhagavad Gita is a part of the fifth Veda, namely the Mahabharata, the Upanishads mark the beginning of transcendental life. As long as the material body exists, there are actions and reactions in the material modes. One has to learn tolerance in the face of duality such as happiness and distress, and cold and warmth. And by tolerating such dualities, become free from anxieties regaining gain and loss. This transcendental position is achieved in full Krishna consciousness when one is fully dependent on the goodwill of Krishna. Translation. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. Rise above these modes, O Arjuna, be transcendental to all of them. Be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the Self. This verse we are reading is from the second chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains, Vedaischa sarvair aham eva vedyo vedanta krit veda vedeva chaham, that he is the author of the Vedas. He is the knower of the Vedas. And by all the Vedas, he is to be known. The Vedas, and actually all the great spiritual literatures or scriptures of the world, are a deep, deep mystery to understand. We find here in India, although we study the same set of books called the Vedas, there are so many different schools of thought, so many different paths, many different goals. And we read in the Vedas that the essence of religion is Sanatana Dharma, which is the essence of every religion. And yet we find people quarreling, arguing, fighting, even killing each other in the name of different approaches to Sanatana Dharma, a religion. What to speak amongst various religions? In every religion, we find various schools of thought that interpret their particular scripture in so many multifarious ways. In fact, we rarely ever see anyone understanding the essence of true religion in any of the great religions of the world. Therefore, we find here that Krishna, who is the author of the Vedas and the knower of the Vedas, he is very frankly and honestly telling us that the Vedas mainly deal with material life and how to improve your material life in order to gradually elevate those people to a state of better piety. Most of the people in this world, especially in this age of Kali Yuga, are steeped deeply in tamaguna. Therefore, for such people, they do not have a thirst for truth. They do not have an aspiration for renunciation, not even an inclination or surrender. Therefore, out of causeless mercy, the Lord wants to give mercy even to them by just teaching them how to be a little more pious, to raise to the Rajaguna, promising them material gifts in return. And for those people, when they come elevated to that platform, by promising them heavenly gifts, not the gifts of this world, but gifts beyond this world of material enjoyment. There are so many beautiful stories, so many wonderful instructions to raise one to the platform of sattva-guna. Most of the Vedas deal with karma-kanda, trying to improve a person's piety by promising a person better material life. But ultimately, such people, however good their material life is, they become frustrated. Abrama bhuvana loka apunar avatanorjana mamupetya tu konti punar janamana vidyate. Krishna says, from the highest planet of Brahma loka down to the lowest hellish planet, ultimately, everyone has to suffer and be frustrated because they are all places of birth and death. They are all places of temporary happiness, distress, honor, dishonor, pleasure, pain. So such people, when they approach the Upanishads, they understand that this material world is an illusion. It is Maya, and therefore we should attain that state of mukti, of liberation, aham brahmasmi, where there is no more birth or death, no more happiness or distress, no more dualities. This is called the jnana kanda of Vedanta philosophy. But even after attaining the liberated state of mukti, still the soul is dissatisfied in want of love. And such a fortunate person thirsting for that love approaches the upasana kanda of the Vedas and learns the art of engaging in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So here, the author of the Vedas, Sri Krishna, is telling us that the Vedas mainly deal with the three modes of material nature, or liberation from these modes. Reject them all, Arjuna. Just be established in the constitutional true position of the soul, jivara swarupoi krishnera nityadas, to engage in the eternal service of Sri Krishna. Be free from all these dualities. Be free from all these material motivations. Ultimately, be free from all the bondage of sufferings which they create in one form or another. But one can only understand the Vedas in truth by humbly submitting to a self-realized soul. The Vedas declare themselves, Tad vijnanartham sugurum eva abhigacchet, that without approaching a true guru, to understand the essence of the Vedas is not only hard or difficult, it is impossible. The Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that the true understanding of all Vedas, it is not going to be found no matter how much you read these books. You can read, but you will be confused, you will be bewildered. There are so many opposing, contradictory statements according to different classes of men. The essence of all Vedic knowledge can only be found one place. It is hidden in the heart of those pure souls who have surrendered their lives in the loving service of the Lord. And they could reveal the truth of the Vedas to our life. In this regard, I would like to narrate a beautiful story which is found in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's a beautiful scripture of the Bengali language by Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur, which describes the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his earlier part of life, he was a grihastha. And he was establishing the most perfect example by which all grihasthas should follow. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. That Radha and Krishna, the two divine personalities of Goloka, the supreme personality of Godhead, combined themselves to incarnate in this world in the one form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Lord Sri Chaitanya never ever claimed to be God to the general people. But he always declared himself to be the humble servant of the Lord and the humble servant of his devotees. And even if someone would detect his supreme opulence as Bhagavan Krishna, knowing that so many unscrupulous people in the future will be claiming to be incarnations of God, claiming to be Krishna, Narayan, claiming to be Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted to set the example. Whoever called him God, Bhagavan, he would hold his ears and run from that place crying out, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. The greatest pollution to the soul is to be under the misconception that we are God. Mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. We are eternally the servants of the Lord, part and parcel of the Lord. And Lord Chaitanya was very strict to establish through his own example how each and every person in this world should act. For the first 24 years of his life, he appeared as a student, the most perfect student by which everyone should follow who's in student life. And then he appeared as a grihastha to establish how every grihastha should live by his example. And after the age of 24, he took sannyas to show all those in the renounced order the perfect behavior of a sannyasi. That is why Rupa Goswami explains, Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namane Gauru Tveshe Namaha. Lord Chaitanya, he says, you are the most munificent, the most merciful, the most complete of all incarnations. Because you are giving free love of Krishna profusely to everyone. And you are showing by your words and your by example how everyone, every class of people can attain the supreme perfection of life. Lord Sri Ramchandra taught by his example perfect grihastha life, perfect king. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught both grihastha and sannyas. No other avatar has given us this example.
So when he was only 16 years old in the Grihastha ashram, he was a teacher of Vyakarana, of Sanskrit grammar and poetry. And he was such a wonderful teacher that he had so many tens and thousands of students coming from all parts of the country to learn from him. He was so simple. He was so pure. When he lived in his house with his widowed mother, Sachi Devi, and his wife, Lakshmi Devi, who was none other than Lakshmi herself, the eternal consort of Narayan, they showed together how each grihastha should live. Every evening and every afternoon, he would very, very anxious to invite guests to his home for prasad. Whether they were expected or unexpected, he treated each guest as good as God. Whenever anyone would come to his home, he would give them a nice place to sit. He would greet them with such humble and such affectionate and loving words. Then he would request his mother, Sachi Mata, and Lakshmi Devi, his wife, to prepare prasad. And while he was discussing so many wonderful topics with them and making them feel so blessed and so loved, they would be cooking nice prasad. And then he would personally organize them to be served. And with his own hands he would serve them. It is described that one day 20 sannyasis appeared at his house without any invitation. And he was so humble before them, he bowed down, he gave them sitting places, and he told Sachi Mata, please prepare them wonderful prasad. But they were not wealthy people. Sachi Mata was in great anxiety because there was nothing in the house to prepare for them. So while she was in anxiety, some unexpected visitors came and just delivered all wonderful foodstuffs. So Lakshmi and Sachi Mata immediately started preparing nice prasad while Sri Chaitanya was speaking with them in so many affectionate words. And when the prasad was prepared, the Lord served to them with such love, gave them just what they wanted. Offered them gifts, offered them obeisances. In this way, the Lord taught that by behaving in this way towards sadhus, for that matter, any guests that come, but especially sadhus, even if we are very poor, if we offer them with affection, with devotion, with warm hearts, just a sitting place and a little water. If that's all we have, such a person will be completely satisfied. But if we do not greet our guests in this way, it is explained in the Shastra that our home is a hellish planet. It is as good as hell for God, for Krishna. So at this time, Sri Chaitanya, Lakshmi Devi, she was working so hard always to assist her husband in his service to the sadhus and service to guests. She was always cooking and cleaning and preparing, and she was just so busy, but she was so blissful. She was so filled with love, because it was her greatest fortune in life to assist her husband in his religious duties. And it is described that at the end of the day, Lakshmi would massage the lotus feet of Sri Gaurachandra, and she would, with such humility and devotion, and he knew that her heart was was solely and exclusively devoted to pleasing him. At that time, he announced that he was going to East Bengal because he had been invited there on many occasions to teach his lessons to the people there. So when he was leaving, Sachi Devi, Lakshmi Devi, their hearts were just so much filled with the anxiety of imminent separation due to their love. But all they could do is hide their tears and offer him a safe journey. In fact, all of the pious people of Navadvip came to see him off. And as he was leaving, they were all praising his glories. So when he arrived in East Bengal, so many thousands of people came to the banks of the Padmavati River to learn from him. And he stayed for several months. And then he decided to return. Before returning, people were coming with so many precious gifts to offer him. They were coming with gold and with fine blankets and with silks and with pots, giving him great, great wealth. Now, some people who do not understand properly, they wonder, why is it that if he was teaching, he was accepting gifts? Now, if he was teaching the principles of religion, like a guru or a sadhu, to be accepting so much wealth would not be proper. But the fact is, at that time he was in the householder ashram, and this was his occupation. So it was perfectly, according to religious principles, to accept all of these gifts from these people. And so many of his students decided to come back to Nadia with him. So he was about to return. The night before his return to Nadia Dham, there was one very, very sincere Brahmin who came to meet him. His name was Tapan Mishra. He was coming from a very, very, very pious Brahmin family. He was a great learned scholar, very, very devoted and religious. But for many years, he was suffering terribly due to doubt in his mind. Because although he was following all the rituals that a Brahmin is supposed to follow perfectly, and he scrutinizingly was studying all the Vedic literatures with great scholarship, he could not understand what is the real goal and what is the method to attain the goal of spiritual practice. He saw so many contradictory ideas, so many different opinions, so many very difficult understanding philosophical terms in the scriptures. He wanted the truth. He had already lived a pious life. He had plenty money, plenty friendship, plenty love at home. He had everything a man could want. But this was not enough for him. He wanted to understand what is the truth. There's no reason to live unless I live for the truth and the truth alone. So in his troubled mind, he was traveling to various yogis, various gurus, various scholars, various sadhus, place to place, inquiring from them, what is the supreme goal of life? How to attain it? I'm doing everything perfectly according to my Brahminical birth, according to the scriptural instructions, but I'm not understanding what is the truth. I have no realization of what is beyond. Therefore, it is all futile. It is all useless. He was burning with the desire for truth in his life. You see, most people, they are very satisfied with being philanthropic, charitable, and pious, performing their duties according to tradition, reading the scriptures, learning the scriptures, performing different spiritual practices, yajñas, pujas. He was doing all that. But he was suffering. Why was he suffering? Because he was too serious. He was too serious to be content with anything but realization of the highest truth. So one night, he had a dream. In this dream, a godly person appeared to him and spoke. He said, Nimai Pandit, Lord Sri Gaurachandra, he is the Supreme Lord Narayan himself. You should approach him, and he will teach you how to approach the Supreme Truth. And who is the Supreme Truth? But do not tell anyone about who he really is. So Tapan Mishra, when he woke up from this dream, he was crying tears of joy. Because you see, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridayesha Arjuna Tishtati, Krishna is within everyone's heart. And according to the sincerity of our desire, Krishna will reciprocate and direct us. Krishna says that he is directing all living beings according to their desires. How he is directing us, that we may not understand. But a devotee has this faith. And it was this faith alone that kept Tapan Mishra alive through his frustration and his doubt. He was searching, searching, searching everywhere, anywhere. But at the same time, he had patience and faith that ultimately the Lord will reveal. So that evening, Lord Sri Chaitanya was sitting with his students. They were all seeing him off, offering him their love and their respects and their gratitude. At that time, Tapan Mishra came into the assembly and he fell at the lotus feet of Sri Gaurachandra in full prostration. And then, with such humility, with such urgency to understand the goal of life, he began to speak. He said, I am a wretched fool. I am the lowest of the low. Look at me. Although I am born in such a high Brahmin family and I'm performing everything I'm supposed to do, I cannot understand what is the absolute truth and how to attain it. I'm frustrated with material life. I don't want it anymore. It's all useless. It's all an illusion. It's all Maya. Please, after studying the scriptures and seeing all these contrary different opinions and all these different views by different philosophers and by different acharyas and different avatars and different so many philosophical theses, I'm confused. And it is a great fortune that I am so confused. Otherwise, I would be content with all of these sub-religious principles. So, my Lord, please instruct me what is the goal of life and how to attain it. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. He smiled. He said, "You are most fortunate. You are most fortunate because you are not satisfied with any amount of material security or material acquisition. You are not even satisfied with the acquirement of high states of knowledge. Therefore, you are most fortunate. And your greatest fortune is that you have approached with such humility that your heart is in a state where it could receive the highest truth." And then Lord Chaitanya began to speak. He said, "In every age, the Supreme Lord incarnates in this world to deliver the Yuga Dharma, the recommended process of self-realization for that age. In the Satya Yuga, the Lord appeared in a white complexion and taught the process of dhyana, of tapasya and meditation. In the Treta Yuga, he appeared in a beautiful reddish complexion and taught the process of yajna, of performing great sacrifices. In the Dwapara Yuga, he appeared in a black complexion to teach archana, the worship of the deity. And in the Kali Yuga, he appears to teach the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names of the Lord." Lord Chaitanya explained that it is not that the chanting of the holy names is exclusively only the means of liberation in Kali Yuga. He explained it is the supreme method in all four yugas. But people in Satya Yuga, they are so highly qualified and so deeply religious that such a simple process, they just couldn't take very seriously. They had to sit for 60,000 years doing tapasya and meditation to attain the same goal they could achieve by just chanting the holy name. The holy name of God is equally empowered with all the mercy of the Lord eternally in all ages. But Mahaprabhu explained, but in Kali Yuga, there is no other way. Harinama, Harinama, Harinama eva kevalam, kalona steva nasteva nasteva gatir anyata. He explained people trying to attain the highest perfection through archana, through maka, through great sacrifices, or through dhyana, they can attain some levels of purification. They cannot attain the supreme truth. In this age of Kali, no one has any qualification without sincerely chanting the holy names. Mahaprabhu explained, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam dharmasya pitatmanam srijanyam haritra naya sadhunam vinashaya chutuskritam dharma samstapanaradaya sambhavami jukejuke. That the Lord incarnates in every age out of his causeless mercy to give us the key to perfection in life. And in this stage, he is so kindly descended to teach us the Yuga Dharma, the essence of all the scriptures, the chanting of Krishna's holy name. And he explained to Tapan Mishra that you just chant this 16-word mantra, which is composed of 32 syllables. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra sincerely, with attention and with feeling, gradually love of God will begin to awaken in your heart. And when that love of God begins to awaken within your heart, everything will be revealed to you in truth. Simply have faith that by only chanting Krishna's name one can attain the supreme perfection of life. In fact, our own spiritual master, Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he used to teach us in this way. The perfection of life, he says, is when you have complete faith that simply chanting Krishna's name, you will attain all perfections. If you simply have that faith, nothing can disturb your spiritual advancement. Therefore, it is absolutely required that we come to such meetings as today, first to chant the holy name, and then to discuss philosophy. The conclusion of all the philosophy of the Vedas in this age of Kali Yuga is to take shelter of the holy name. Therefore, philosophy that does not culminate in this is theoretical. It can raise us to the point of empiric stability in our life, but never loving devotional service to the Lord. Tapan Mishra prayed to the Lord that I have studied all the scriptures. What is the truth and how can I serve the truth? This is what I want to know. And Mahaprabhu gave him this instruction. The greatest service to the absolute truth is to sincerely chant the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Then Tapan Mishra fell at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, offered his prostrated obeisances. And then he told him, you know, I had a dream. And in this dream, a celestial personality told me that you were the supreme personality of Godhead and I would know everything from you. Lord Chaitanya told him, you should not let anyone know this. This is a secret. And then Tapan Mishra asked, I have no use for my home anymore. I would like to come with you to Navadvip. Lord Chaitanya said, no, there is no need for that. He said, you go home and you practice this chanting of the holy names in this way. He said, in fact, I would like you to shift your family to Varanasi. I have a special plan for you. And I will come and meet you in Varanasi sometime in the future. And there I will explain in great detail the goal of life and how to attain it. But in the meanwhile, you just have faith and chant the holy names. This is an interesting story. One may wonder that Tapan Mishra was such a great scholar. And he was for years profusely studying the Vedas and approaching so many great scholars and great spiritual thinkers. And he was not satisfied with any of their words. And he only spoke to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for just a few minutes. And the Lord gave him such simple instructions. Just chant Hare Krishna. That is all. So how such a deep thinker was satisfied with such a simple idea? The reason is this. Because he approached the Supreme Lord with a humble heart, truly seeking the truth, by the Lord's mercy, he was able to be fully satisfied with this simple instruction. And similarly, if one has a humble heart and approaches a bona fide representative of the Lord, a pure spiritual master or representative of such a great soul, with a sincere desire to know the truth, then by the mercy of the Lord of the heart, he gives us this faith. He gives us the satisfaction. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshantite jnanam jnanena satudarshan. Krishna explains, if you want to know the truth, you must approach the Lord or his representative and inquire submissively. Without submissive inquiry, no one can know the truth. In other words, we have to approach as Tapan Mishra did. I don't know anything. If we present ourselves as being learned, there's nothing we could learn. Academically we could learn, but in regard to the truth we cannot learn. It is explained by Vrindavan Das Thakur that if a person is very highly intellectual or dull-headed, if he approaches the guru with a sincere heart, he could learn the truth. That dull-headed person may remain dull-headed, but he'll know the truth. He'll be a perfect devotee of the Lord. And that intellectual person may remain intellectual, but he'll be perfect. In other words, understanding the supreme goal of life is not dependent at all on our intellectual capacity. It's dependent on one thing alone, a submissive heart. A submissive heart offered to the Lord's bona fide representative, who simply speaks the word of God and lives the word of God. Pariprasnena sevaya, Krishna explains, these are the only two necessary qualifications: to inquire submissively and to render service. To be a servant. That in essence is Krishna consciousness. And when we inquire submissively and with a service attitude, then the true glory of the holy name is revealed to us. And we can understand it and we can accept it. People may think, what is all this chanting and dancing? Huh? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has done like this. He has showed us like this. And if we try to intellectually understand everything, there is intellectual explanations to satisfy your intelligence. But if we submissively hear with a service attitude, we'll understand. What is this chanting and dancing? It is a supreme perfection of life. Mahaprabhu taught that kirtan is the supreme perfection of life. It is the only means in the age of Kali Yuga. Jagyai Sankirtana Prayai, to chant in the congregation of devotees. And humble devotees simply accept it because it's in the Shastra and it's revealed by the pure devotees. It's not a question whether we like it, whether we enjoy it. It's a question of submissive hearing and rendering service by following out the Yuga Dharma as it is being told to us. This is the ways and the means to achieve pure love of God, the ultimate treasure, the supreme goal. If we want something else, there are so many ways to achieve it. But if we want the gift of divine love, we must humbly receive the gift of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Rupa Goswami has prayed that these two syllables, Krishna, I do not know how much nectar they have produced. When I chant the holy name with my tongue, I desire many, many tongues. And when that name enters into my ears, I desire millions and millions of ears. So, of course, in the beginning, we must chant with faith. Recently, I was in Brajbhumi, and one person approached me with such sincere feeling and devotion and said, that how can I always chant Krishna's name? It's so difficult. And we could only repeat the words of Sri Chaitanya. Trinarapi sunichena, tarorapi sahishnana, amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. There's only one way. No other way. There never will be any other way. Until we learn to be more humble than the grass, more tolerant than the tree, ready to offer all respect to other and expect no respect for ourselves. Only such a person can chant the holy name constantly. No one else. Therefore, this is our aspiration in life. This is our goal in life. Some people, they come and, you are not giving the highest. We want to learn Manjari Bhava, Gopi Bhava, Parakya Ras, all these very high levels of realization. According to the authorized acharyas, to be studying all of these things, to be practicing these types of meditation, is simply an imagination. There can be no realization. When we're liberated, then these meditations can actually bear fruit. But until then, they will always remain imaginations without realizations. For a person who is not on the pure platform, there's only one way: to constantly chant Krishna's name, aspiring to be more humble than the grass, more tolerant than the tree, ready to offer all respect to others, and to expect none in return. This is the process. It's simple. There's no shortcuts. There's no way around it. Therefore, to learn how to serve, to learn how to offer respect, to learn how to tolerate injustices upon ourselves, and to continuously chant the holy name in this spirit. That is the way and the means to the absolute truth. And through this process, everything is revealed to us. The eternality of the soul, our eternal relationship with God, our swarup, our eternal service to the Lord in the spiritual world, they are all revealed naturally to one who purifies his heart through such chanting of Krishna's name. So this Tapan Mishra, he became one of the most celebrated and dearmost devotees of the Lord. And along with this chanting, the Lord did not give him an easy service. He told him to move to Varanasi. He wanted to go to Navadvip, where the Lord was associating with so many wonderful devotees. But the Lord sent him to Varanasi, which is a place there was not a single devotee there. They were all jnanis of the Mayavad school. But he had faith. He had complete faith that whatever my Gurudev asks me to do, even if it doesn't make sense, it must be for the good. It is his mercy. With this faith, with this devotion, our heart is a suitable field for the seed of love to grow as we water that seed with the ambrosial nectar of Harinam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Is there any questions?